Good morning, welcome back to Nachyami. Today we are beginning Perek Aleph, the first chapter of the book of Shir HaShirim. This is the most complex sefer, and it is clearly impossible to be able to accomplish understanding what is going on in one Perek within a 10-minute podcast. However, what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to look at the sefer from an overview, from a helicopter perspective. We're going to look at the different sections of the Perek and try to look at it on a pshat level, on Rashi's perspective, and look at some of the drash to get a sense of what is going on over here. So we're going to look at the first parak now, and it is made up of 17 psukim, the first of which is its introduction, Shir HaShirim, Asher Lishlamo. This is the Song of Songs, which is to Solomon. On pshat level, this is indicating that there were many songs in the life of Shlomo Melech, and this is a collection of them. We should understand that Shir HaShirim is not one song, it is multiple songs. We will see each section is almost its own song, and it's attributed to Shlomo HaMelech. We should be aware, as Rashi quotes the Midrash, that in fact, our rabbis teach us, called Shlomo HaAmurim b'Shir HaShirim Kodesh Melech Shashalom Shalai. It refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The name Shlomo actually refers to Hashem in this book. Why it's hidden, we discuss a little bit in the introduction. Let's dive a little bit into this, into the actual Sefer itself. A reminder that the way Rashi looks at it, and this is in fact how the Stone Edition of Art Scroll has translated in English based on Rashi's interpretation, that this is a conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael while Israel is in Golus. This is Shlomo HaMelech looking to the future, seeing the exile of the nation of Israel, and this is the conversation looking back, reminiscing to the good times they had and the love they had beforehand, which is not present currently. Let's jump straight in. The first Psukim Beis Tudalid is a speech or a song from the Raya, that's the female, that's the young lady, to her adored, to her beloved. And she asks, on a pshat level, what's being described is, she asks to be brought near him. Yishokeni min shikos pio, let him kiss me again. Let me smell him again, let him bring me in, roch sheni acharecha narutza, pull me in, so I can follow you, I can run after you. That's what's being described. She asks him to bring her back to the chamber of the king. What is this referring to? So Rashi explains that this is Israel, who are already in Golus, in exile, asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking the Almighty for reinstatement. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring us back to Golus. To dig it a little bit deeper on a level of drash, it is worthwhile noting that the idea Moshcheni, which means draw me, actually relates to a halachic construct called a Kinyan Meshicha. Kinyan Meshicha is one of the ways of a transaction of ownership which is achieved by pulling something. What is being referred to over here is that it's interesting that the Gemara in Baba Basra describes that there are two ways to achieve a Kinyan Meshicha. So let's say one person is buying a cow from another. They achieve the acquisition. The acquisition is finalized and executed when a Kinyan Meshicha occurs. How does that occur? Well, they need to move. The new owner needs to move the object, needs to pull it. So there's two ways to achieve that. Either they can pull the cow and the cow moves, or they can hit the cow from the back, from the behind, and the cow moves. Those are two ways of achieving the Kinyan Meshicha. So what's being said over here is Moshcheni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, acquire us back, acharecha narutza, but let it be the way that you call to us, you pull us, that we are coming to you, rather than you having to hit us in order to reacquire us, because there's two ways to come back. Just again, deepening the perspective. Let's move on to the next micro song, Psukim Hei Tzvov. In this is now that Raya, the young lady, who is talking to the Benos Yerushalayim, to the daughters of Jerusalem, and she says, you know, Shechora Ani, I am black v'nava and beautiful. And she describes that, in fact, Al tiruni shani shechar chores sheshos shesh zofasni hashamesh. That don't look at me as if I've been burnt out. It is because of my work in the sun. And she describes those who are her siblings who are angry at her. What is going on over here? Rashi explains that this is the nation of Israel who has gone through an extended exile and might look outwardly like the nations in which she is found. The Jews of every nation might culturally look like the Spanish and the French and the English and the Americans and the Brazilians and the South Africans and the Australians, but ultimately, in the end of the day, they are still na'ava. They're beautiful. They're still connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't misinterpret this. And there is a question over here, and that is, a question is who are these Benos Yerushalayim that the Raya is addressing, if not Israel themselves? So the way the Mitzuras David explains it is Chozra Ponel Klapei Hanaros Benois Gilosh. She's turning to the other young ladies of her age, of her stage, and saying, "Don't misunderstand my involvement in the rest of the world because of this exile. I'd like to put this question on hold, come back to it in the Perek to understand the Malbim's understanding." Let's take one level deeper here in the Drash. The Medrash actually darshans as to all these particular episodes as to when the nation of Israel was shachara, burnt out. And it refers to the Mechilta, describes it, and it refers to times when the betrayal of at Rephidim, or at Yamsuf, or the Meraglim, or when the times of King Achav in Melachim. I mean to say, if you look at Jewish history, there's a long string of times where the nation of Israel did not live up to their national calling. Don't look at that blackness, that burnt outness, because still, Na'avah, I'm still beautiful, says the Raya. We move on to the third micro song, which is Psukim Zayin Teches. This now is a conversation between the Raya and the Dod. This is the first time we hear the Dod, the male, the man figure responding, and it's a dialogue. The Pshat is in Pasuk Zayin. She turns to him and she says, "Show me that you love me. How could you leave me out? How could you let me be in distress?" And he responds to her without answering by saying, "You know what? You need to go and do your job. You need to go back to the fields and tend the sheep." This is, as Rashi understands, this is the conversation of Israel and Golas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in exile, why are we suffering so? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't answer, but says, follow in the ways of the Torah, follow and adhere to those sages. Don't allow yourselves to be enculturated in the culture around you and think that those mores and morals are in fact the objective standard when yours is. Digging it down to the drash in this section, what is the bi'ik ve'atzon? He tells her to follow in the footsteps of the sheep. Why is the shepherd following the sheep? Numerous levels of drash. Shabbos Lamed Gimel tells us that Rabbi Gurion would say that the tzaddikim are nitposim al avon hador, that the tzaddikim can be following, so to speak, and suffering because of the infidelity of their generation, even though they don't deserve it. There's another beautiful Medrash Rabbah which says that it's referring to the time when Moshe Rabbeinu went back into Egypt to find the bones of Yosef while everybody else was getting out. Moshe Rabbeinu was behind. Leaders eat last because that's the way it works. This is the understanding, this conversation between the Raya and the Dod. And finally, the last section of our Perek, Psukim Tes to Yud Zayin, are on a Pshat level. This is referring to how the Dod is speaking predominantly to his beloved. So this is the male figure speaking to the female figure, and he describes her beauty. He describes the promise of a good life together. And she responds in Pasuk Yod Aleph in like. She says, Toriyah Zahav Na'aselach im Nekudas HaKesef. She wants to create with him. She wants the union with him. And he goes on to describe how beautiful their life will be together, the house they'll build together, the bedroom that they'll consummate their marriage with. In. This is the description. It's mostly, it sounds like it's under the chuppah. It sounds like these great terms of endearment, the first union of the Dod and the Raya. Rashi explains this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu describing his initial love for the nation of Israel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us so many opportunities. He took us out of Egypt. He split the sea. He brought us to Matan Torah. He allowed us to create a home for him, the Mishkan. And each of these are being described and hinted to in this description about HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanting this to have happened, although at later times we rejected this. Let's dig the drash in 1 second for a moment. In one of the terms of endearment in Pasuk Tes, Hashem says to the nation of Israel, Lesusosi berichvei paroi. My horse is among the steeds of Pharaoh, the Egyptian horses. Why is that the term of endearment? The Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Velozhna, in Shar Aleph, and the 9th section, paragraph 9, or chapter 9, describes that in fact the horses of Pharaoh were unique. And we know that in Kriyas Yamsuf, we know that the horses charged in first, not listening to the rider who is riding them. And in fact, that is a model for the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs this world. He is the rider. But sometimes he has created it that the horse themselves, that's us, has the capacity to run into situations which are good or bad or in between. He allows the horse to be in charge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hashem Tzilchal Yad Yiminecha, I'm the shadow behind your right hand, which means I'm allowing you, I'm giving license to you to be able to actually choose what to do. That's the idea of Bechira Choshes. And this description, this interminable endearment, is Hashem saying to humanity, I have given you the power of the horses of Pharaoh. I'd like to come back to the last question and then close the parak with this, and that is who again are the Benos Yerushalayim? Who are the daughters of Jerusalem that the Raya is reaching out to and saying, don't misunderstand my appearance? So it's fascinating to appreciate that, in fact, the Malbim has a very unique and different way of looking at Shir HaShirim, and it revolves around this question. Usually we look at the idea of Shir HaShirim being a dialogue between two characters, the Raya, the female, and the Dod, the male. However, says the Malbim, there is a third character over here, and that is Shlomo. Shlomo is the king, and it describes how there's this young lady who is in love with this young man, and they want to elope, they want to get married, but the king has fallen in love with the same girl, and that king puts her in chains. That king sends guards, the Benos Yerushalayim, he sends those to guard her, that she will remain his. And this song, he divides the entire Shir HaShirim up into five sections, where he describes the different moments where now she's trapped, this young lady's trapped and cannot find a true love because there's someone else much more powerful who desires her. And ultimately, how she's able to convince the gods of her that in fact she should be allowed to marry Eich She'avah Nafshi, the one who she really truly loves. Who are these three characters? Kriya Rosh Shlomo Melech is writing autobiographically, it has the following description. The Dod is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, the male figure is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the true love. That is pure spirituality. Who's Shlomo? Shlomo is the expression of full material good. All desires of this world and lust, which perhaps he's talking about the failures that he experienced in his own life. And in between them is the soul. In between them is the human soul. And sometimes the soul really, truly loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wants to be united, wants to live a life after that. But it's held and it's incarcerated by, the king, by the material lust of this world. And it's that struggle trying to reunite with the real love despite those who are lusting after using and misappropriating it into this world. And that's the Benos Yerushalayim, the interaction between the soul and those who are guarding her as representations of the king, as representations of material experience. That's another way of looking at this, and we'll track the Malbim as we go through the rest of the Prakim. In the meantime, this gives us a very good sense of overview, but there's obviously much more to talk about as we dig the depths of every pasuk, every word, and every letter. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.